So welcome. So the presentation is about Azure Backup. Just get started. First thing I want to talk about is a little story. So on July 20th, On July 20th, we had a customer who was using Azure Backup called us and told us that, hey, my virtual machine backup is not working. Could you guys take a look at it? Our engineers got onto the call with the customer, tried to debug the environment, found out that the logs that we were looking for inside the virtual machine were encrypted. And we found out that he had a malware running on his software on his virtual machine. So we told this customer, hey, you've been infected with malware. Please fix it. And sure enough, he had VM backup. He could just go back in time, do a restore, and within a few hours, he's back in the business. We had a second incident almost within 15 days, once again, for another customer. And this customer had been ready for, deploying Azure Backup. He prepared his disk, and he wanted to send this disk to the Azure data center and, set up protection. But before the disk reached the Azure data center, what happened was he was infected by a malware on premises. Then he called us, and sure enough, we were able to track down the disk, where the disk was. We were able to recover the data from the Azure data center. We got the customer back in the business. So in this day of age, backup and data protection is more critical than ever. Okay? So we had a recent post from CyberHeist News, which tells us that ransomware issues have really grown. And FBI has warned customers to make sure that they protect their data and use backup as their recommendation. And they tell you to keep those backups away from production. In fact, maybe use cloud as a backup target and make sure that they are secure and make sure those backups are always tested before you use them in production, right? And we also saw another report from McAfee which said ransomware threats have gone up by 3,000% since it started in 2012. ESG did a survey this year to find out where does all the IT tasks stack up with customers like just like you? And what we found out is data protection and recovery is still the top five concerns for a lot of the IT folks out there. So with that, you might be wondering, backup has been there for many decades. So what's really changed? What's new? Why are we here? Okay, the reason is that there is an important inflection that's about to happen with the cloud transformation. So you must have seen the keynote from Scott Guthrie yesterday, and he was talking about how businesses are using the cloud as a way to transform their IT, to transform their businesses, right? And in that inflection point, backup becomes very critical, and I'm here, and we are here, actually, me and Srish. Srish, my boss, is a GPM standing here. We're going to talk you through how we're able to enable you guys to ride the cloud transformation wave and how backup fits in that model. So Srish, why do you think how do you think backup fits in this whole cloud transformation vision?
Hi, yeah, thanks. Good morning again. There's definitely inflection that's happening in the cloud. And backup as a infrastructure service has an implication to how it evolves in this new sort of cloud imagined world, if you will. But before I do that, I want to finish the ransomware story. I was talking to the guys at Code42, and they were telling a story where they have a big booth. I don't know if you guys, has anybody been to the booth yet? Code42? If you notice, they have ransomware written all over the place. And so seeing the material, somebody apparently called them and said, hey, I just got attacked by ransomware. What do you guys do to help me? And they said, well, it's a little too late to be asking us that. Your backups already started, because that's how ransomware works. It encrypts your data. So if you haven't already backed it up, it doesn't help after the fact. And that's, in fact, one of the ways we're going to talk about that in the demo as well, that you need to not only, you know, make sure you do backups, but you also need to make sure you secure your backups. And we'll show a bit of that, you know, down the road in the demo. But anyway, going back to my story. So as the backup products have evolved in this new landscape, as well as the customers that are taking advantage of this new landscape, I'll suggest a framework for you guys to think about how to look at different approaches where you think about backup. And I have a friend here, Jason, from ESG, who I give credit for having me start that thinking process of how to sort of reimagine this world. Because backup is like a, you know, three-decade-old industry, and it really doesn't change a whole lot unless there's a big inflection going on. So this is one that's going on right now. There's one that happened about 10 years ago called virtualization. So in this landscape, I'll offer you these things to look at. One is your deployment model itself on the left. This is your hybrid deployment where you'll have some infrastructure running on premises, and maybe you're migrated to the cloud, you're running some ISVMs, and if you're more advanced, perhaps you're running some PaaS workloads, as well as maybe even SaaS application in the cloud. Then on the right is where you talk about the cloud promises. As you look at what cloud has to offer, you need to look at, is it delivering on these promises? And let me spend a few minutes on each one. The obvious ones are pay-as-you-go, an infinite scale that everybody groks that. That's what the cloud offers. But then what about cloud economics? What I mean by that is the solution cost effective? And I'll talk a bit about that when the approach comes up as to why you need to tease that apart. And finally, the most important clincher in my mind is backup is an infrastructure service. But if you still have to worry about infrastructure when you move to the cloud, you really haven't gotten freedom from infrastructure. So that's the other cloud promise you need to look at. And on the top, I have the admin persona, and I think Vijay mentioned that a little bit. Is there a way you can reimagine the roles in your company today as you move to the cloud? Is there a different role these personas can play? It would be kind of a missed opportunity if they continue to do the same things they do today. So how do these approaches that are there in the industry measure against this framework, if you will? So I'll walk through each approach. So first, let's take the simplest case where infrastructure is on-premises. Here, the easiest approach that you can add cloud to your infrastructure is use that cloud storage as your offsite copy, perhaps, or as a tape replacement. This approach gives you some benefits of the cloud. It gives you pay-as-you-go. It gives you the scale because you can pretty much use as much storage as you want. But it has fundamentally not changed your infrastructure equation. You still have on-premises infrastructure. You still have to worry about anytime you egress storage from the cloud, you still have to worry about that. So essentially, it has delivered in a limited way to the cloud promises. And again, there's no change in the roles of both your infra admin or your app admin. So you move further up the chain where, let's say you've started to migrate some workloads to the cloud. And you'll start, of course, with deploying stuff in an ISVM. That's your first step you'd take for hybrid. And most backup products will tell you that that's how you would protect them. You run the backup software in an ISVM. That is how you would get the same look and feel, the same consistency. And yes, you get the same benefits as the earlier approach in pay-as-you-go and scale, but you still have to worry about infrastructure. You've simply moved your infrastructure management problem from on-premise to the cloud. I'll give you an example. If you have to deploy a backup software to protect, let's say, 100 terabyte infrastructure, well, a typical A4 VM can only protect up to 30 terabytes on disk space. So you need to create more VMs. And yeah, you can do that. Azure allows that. But then you have to worry about that. You need to make sure they're up. You need to create an availability group for it. You need to make sure when that storage runs out, you provision more VMs. And what about the cost? Running a VM is not exactly cheap. Yes, you're running it in Azure, not running on your own servers, but it still costs you. So it doesn't grade very well on what I call cloud economics. And lastly, the infrastructure. You still have to worry about infrastructure. You need to provision storage. You need to make sure the VM's the right capacity, the right IOPS. All of those things that you normally worry about in your on-premise backup infrastructure, you haven't really absolved yourself from that responsibility. So again, your roles don't change a whole lot. Your problem set doesn't change a whole lot. You're just running your stuff in the cloud. So again, it's limited in your mind. And that's what traditional backup has done to take advantage of this inflection. In Azure Backup, we have taken a different approach. We started from scratch about 6 to 8 years ago and started building the solution as a multi-tenanted PaaS service to take full advantage of the cloud. So you definitely get the same benefits you had earlier about pay-as-you-go and infinite scale, but you get a lot more. For example, you have to deploy no infrastructure. You can do backup, you can do restores, you can do self-service restores, and most importantly, you can do monitoring and management from the cloud, again, without deploying any infrastructure. And in that approach, we've also chosen as a business value prop to not charge customers for egress. That is part of what you pay for in the service. So essentially, you can get worry-free backup as a service delivered from the cloud for your infrastructure, hybrid infrastructure on the left that I talked about, and it not just helps you protect ISVM, which we'll show you a demo of, but it'll also show you a preview of SQL Backup, which is a PaaS application that you might have built, that in the same experience, you can protect that as well. So we give you a full-featured experience in the cloud that manages a hybrid deployment, delivers on all the crowd promises, and the admin persona is another thing that evolves in this role. Since you don't have to worry about infrastructure, the infra admin can now do high leverage things like worry about governance, make sure the businesses are compliant, and do a higher level management activity across the business. The app admin is also more empowered because he can get all his self-service work done for restores, and he can pretty much provision the infrastructure himself. It's very simple. He doesn't have to worry about a three-level system to get his data back. He can do self-service, which means he's more agile. So what we have done in this transformation is make sure that you can protect in this cloud imagined infrastructure, and your infrastructure roles have also evolved. But wait, that's not the end. Because we are a first-party service in Azure, we can also leverage other services in Azure. You must have seen the demos where they talked about analytics you can do in the cloud. Well, guess what? We can do the same thing because we're monitoring all the information. All of the data is there in our service in the cloud. And in a very secure way, for your subscriptions, you can do deep analytics on the data, not just worry about how to manage the backups and do infrastructure. In traditional software, you have to deploy other servers, other services to get advantage of that. With our approach, you can actually go beyond backup. And I think in a demo, we'll talk more about ransomware, how we have built additional mitigation for ransomware. So as you can see, our approach is more optimized for the cloud and delivers more on these promises that I showed. So with that, I'll hand it back to Vijay, who will go into a deep dive into the features themselves and the demos.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Srish. All right, so what is Azure Backup? I think as Srish touched upon, Azure Backup is actually, we think about it as two pillars. There's obviously the bits and bytes that you can store in Azure. A lot of folks associate backup with just storage, which is great. I mean, that's what it is to begin with. But we also look at it as a management plane, which means that you can set central policies from the management portal, be able to manage your infrastructure. You can monitor from the same place. So as you go through the day, when you look at the demos, you'll start to see some of these capabilities start to unveil. All right. So as a note, that Azure Backup is actually part of the OMS family, which includes a bunch of technologies like the log analytics. You have automation. You have the Azure Site Recovery. And then you can, the Azure Backup is also part of that whole OMS suite. So you can buy it as a standalone with your Azure EA commit, but you can also use it as part of the OMS delivery. We're deployed in all the regions in the across the world, and those yellow signs are the data centers that were coming up pretty soon. So that's something that you should never worry about. Is Azure Backup available in your region, right? That is something we pretty much take care of. So let me just jump into some of the scenarios that that Azure Backup enables. So the first thing I'm going to touch on is the cloud backup. And in that, I'm going to start off with Azure VM Backup. If you look at business continuity in Azure, there are a set of things that are built into Azure. For instance, if you have, if we have hardware failures, we'll make sure that the virtual machines are, migrated to another cluster so that you don't have downtime. We also make sure that if you have any regional failures, that does not impact your virtual machines in another region. Our services are also geo-replicated, right? So that way, you're able to get the most of the benefit from being, you're leveraging your Azure infrastructure. But that's not it. There are a set of things that are user responsibility. For instance, if you want to make your application, your specific application, highly available, you need to deploy VM availability sets. And if you want to use storage redundancy features, like you want to make sure that your storage is available in another region, maybe another location in within the United States. You have to configure geo-redundant storage. And last but not least, if you want to protect yourself from data deletion or corruption or the malware scenarios that I was talking about, you need to think about backup. And that is a user responsibility, okay? Let me just jump in now into what is the Azure VM Backup promise and how we deliver that with a set of demos. First, the expectation is that you have protection from data corruption and data loss. Second is we need to make sure that the backups are application consistent. That is a fundamental expectation from a customer. So if you have multiple disks associated with a virtual machine, you need to have a consistent backup that is taken across those set of disks, right? If you take snapshots, for instance, you may get snapshots when you shut down your virtual machine. You can take snapshots, but A, you have to shut down the virtual machine, or B, if you take snapshots while the VM is running, you're not going to get a consistent point, right? So Azure Backup, the VM Backup enables that capability to be able to run your virtual machines while you're running, have a consistent snapshot. And most, last but not least, you can retain the backups in a separate, what we call as a vault. And that way, if your virtual machine is deleted, you still have a backup copy inside the vault. And you can retain that for a long term, like for compliance reasons, okay? So going back to how we deliver the Azure VM Backup, Srish already touched upon how we make sure that you, the customer, does not have to worry about the infrastructure. It is delivered as backup as a service, which means that all you need to do is say, I want to enable backup for the virtual machine, and we take care of making that happen for you. You just need to tell us the intent. That's about it, okay? And let me just jump into the demo to show you how this works. So here I have the virtual machine dashboard. One of the new capabilities that we've added is when you start creating a virtual machine from here, I can pick the size of the virtual machine. And then when I'm done with that, I give a set of basic inputs into creating the virtual machine. And then I pick the resource group. And then I pick the region where I want to place my virtual machine. Let's say it's Western Europe. And say OK. Then I pick the size of the virtual machine. This should be familiar to folks. But then what you notice here is just like you have a set of settings like storage, network, we've added something called backup right here. And if you say enable backup, it asks you to specify the vault in which you want to keep your backups. This vault acts as two parts. I mean, does two things for you. One is it acts as the repository of all your backups, but it also acts as the management plane, which I talked about earlier. So if you go inside the vault view, you can actually manage all your virtual machines from that central place. So here I can pick the vault I want, and I say OK. It goes ahead and provisions the virtual machine, also creates the vault for me, and then sets up the backup from right there. OK, so if I go to the set of virtual machines, I can go back to it. And if I have a virtual machine set up with backup, I can browse the backup information right here. And right from the VM blade, I can actually go launch the essentials blade about my Azure backup. And it tells me where's my backups located. It's in the IaaS Ignite demo vault. It also tells me the subscription and part of the virtual machine. It also tells me about the policy that I'm using for my backups. So if I get into the vault, here I have a nice dashboard which shows me all the virtual machines, all the files and folders that I'm backing up from on-premises, everything in a single dashboard. Okay? So if I'm somebody who's actually configuring a bunch of virtual machines and I want to do that at a scale, I can go back to the vault and I can say plus backup, and here I get to choose that I want to backup either from on-premises to cloud or within Azure. Let's say I'm still in the Azure scenario here. I can pick the backup policy, or I can create a new policy. If I say create new policy, I can specify what. There are two components in the policy. One is the frequency of my backups, and second is my retention. So as far as retention goes, I can choose anything for like long-term retention, let's say 10 years or something like that. Okay, let me just pick the defaults here. And then when I go to the items that I want to backup, I can pick a bunch of virtual machines from my set. And notice that at the bottom here, it tells me that it detected that there are a bunch of virtual machines that are encrypted. Okay, so these virtual machines are using the Azure Disk Encryption to make sure that they are BitLocker enabled. As part of the backup process, what we do is the keys that are encrypting the BitLocker virtual machines are also copied along with the vault information. That way, if you have a key rollover, right? Let's say a year later, you have a key rollover, and you want to recover from a point in time which is like a year later, right? You need to know what was the key with which you encrypted your backups, right? So that information, the key encrypting, the encrypted key encryption, is actually backed up along with the backups. That way, when we go back, we can go to the key vault, tell them, hey, here's the information that I have about the backup. Please unlock the virtual machine and restore the virtual machine. So all of this actually taken care of by the Azure Backup Service as part of backing up the virtual machine. So you don't need to worry about it. Let me jump into the next part, which is restore. We talked about backup. Let me talk about restore. There are three sets of scenarios that when you think about restore. First is you want to restore your entire virtual machine. There may be multiple reasons for that. One, you maybe deleted your virtual machine. Maybe it's a year later. You want to see what you did a year ago. You can always go back in time, do a restore of your virtual machine. Let's say you want to restore just a set of disks, and you want to attach that to your production environment. Maybe you want to add your virtual machine to an availability set. All of those things you could do with the VM disk restore or a VM restore. But a common scenario that we've heard from a lot of customers is that they want to do a file item recovery. That's the most common scenario. Let's say I deleted a file. How do I recover my file? So can I have the best of the two worlds? I want to do a VM level backup. At the same time, I want to be able to restore individual files. This is a new capability that's just been added, and it's in the private preview. Let me just jump into a demo of the same. Okay. So here I have a virtual machine that I'm backing up. It's called File Server VM1. Let me go jump inside the virtual machine. And let's say I have an important document that I need to make sure that it's not corrupted, it's not deleted. But let's say I have a fat finger and I happen to delete that. Okay, it's gone. So what do I do? Go back to the portal and launch the recovery window. And here you see a new menu item called File Recovery. Click on that. And here it tells me to pick the virtual, the recovery point for my backups. So I've been backing up for more than a week. So let me pick a recovery point, let's say last Friday. And I remember that maybe I deleted the file last Friday, or I worked on the file last Friday. Let me just pick that recovery point, and then I will download a script. Let me, while the script is downloading, I will tell you what is going on in the background. What this is doing is essentially creating a, what it's doing is essentially creating an iSCSI target of the backup vault, okay? So for every recovery point, and when you choose that I want to do a restore from a specific recovery point, it creates an iSCSI target, and the script connects the, you know, the iSCSI initiator with the iSCSI target so that, this entire disk, the recovery point, is now surfaced as just like another volume on your you know, virtual machine. So let me, this file has been downloaded. So let me just copy that to my production machine. Okay. It's copied. Let me just execute it. All right. Okay. It's running. So this shows you that it actually created an iSCSI target of the backup, you know, the data, and it mounts the volume. And notice here that you will find out that I have just C drive and D drive connected to my machine. In just a few minutes or a few seconds, you'll notice that a new volume gets attached to my virtual machine. Okay, there you go. So if I go to F drive and browse to my folder, kind of slow. Okay, it's not here. I'm sorry. Okay, it's here. Okay, it's right here. Ah, there you go. So the file, maybe I'm just looking at the wrong folder here. No, it's not there. All right, let me just show it to you one sec. Okay, it's on the desktop. No, no, it's not there. Ah, there it is. Sorry, I was fumbling on the folder names. Sorry about that. So that's the file. So I can pretty much, you know, get the file copied back to my production data store. So if I can go just do a cut and paste, I can go back to C drive. And all I do is just copy and paste. So I got my file back from my backup vault, which is showing up as an iSCSI target, mount that disk onto my virtual machine, and just do a drag and drop of my files.
Can you only do it on that virtual machine, or can you do it on a local machine?
Yes, local machine, yeah, anywhere, anywhere.
Is it read-only?
I'm sorry?
No,
so it's a good question. Is the iSCSI target read-only? The answer is no. It's actually read-write, but it's temporal, which means that if you have, I mean, you can actually extend this to a little, do a little more. For instance, if you have a database file, you can actually connect the database file to a live SQL Server instance and actually restore maybe even tables from that, right? And then when you're done with that, you can actually destroy that. I mean, you just dismount the disk and you're good to go. It stays mounted for 12 hours, and after that, it actually dismounts it. So that's the Azure file item recovery scenario. Let me jump into.
After the 12 hours, you're able to rerun that.
Yes, 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 yes. All right. So questions I'll actually take towards the end, so that way we have to get through a lot of content. So there are a lot of capabilities we've added in the last 6 months with Azure VM Backup. We had actually had a GA in May with the new recovery services vault. And we've added capability to back up your ARM VMs, like the new resource manager-based virtual machines. We've added ability to support premium disks. We've also added, as you just saw, the ability to back up encrypted Azure Disk Encryption virtual machines. Tons of things like PowerShell, the list goes on and on. So let me, obviously there's a lot of documentation out there. You guys can go take a look, see what's out there in the market. Let me jump into the next part of the presentation, which is Azure SQL. How could I not talk about SQL when you talk about backup, right? So with Azure SQL, traditionally, backup has been built in as part of the Azure PaaS offering, right? With the Azure SQL, if you take a Elastic Pool or a standard instance, standard tier SQL database, database backup is built in. So for 35 days, up to 35 days, you get a point in time backup and restore, which is already built in. But a lot of customers have been asking, hey, that's not sufficient. I want to retain that data for long term. I want to make sure it is a separate copy of the backup. And if, let's say, accidentally I deleted my SQL database, or if I am migrating my application to a new version, I still want to keep a backup of the old data. I can destroy the production database, create a new version of my Azure SQL, build a new application, and I want a backup always to be there, right? Almost think about it as immutable. So that's exactly the capability that we've added. If you see a lot of customers, like this is just the market data that's showing that customers are really looking for long-term retention for backups. And when we looked at the customers using Azure SQL, we found out that they were trying to do this, but it was very expensive and very, very cumbersome to do SQL backup for long-term retention. They had to do export database, and there were limits in terms of how many databases you can export per hour. You also had limitations that it was very slow, didn't work for databases more than 2 terabytes. So if you just jump into, I'll just jump into the demo here. So here I have a vault created. And if I look at the Azure SQL server, we've added the ability right here to say, I want to retain my backups for long term. And if I go here, I can just say configure backup. And there you see, it's just coming up slowly. There you see you have to specify the recovery services vault where you want to keep your backups. This recovery services vault is actually independent of the Azure SQL. So even if you've deleted your database or deleted your server, these backups are still remaining in the vault, okay? And you specify what's the retention that you want to keep. So for instance, if I want to say create a new policy, I can say that I want to keep this backup for N years. And in the case of SQL, we support up to 10 years of backup. So I can choose, let's say 10 years right here. And all I have to do is select the set of databases that I want to enable backup for, and off you go, right? That's it. And those backups are automatically being copied from Azure SQL to the vault, and every backup is actually a full backup. Let me just jump back to the... So what we have is basically an efficient way to backup your data from SQL to the recovery services vault. Those backups are secure by default, which means that it is using the Azure SQL transparent data encryption. And last but not least, you can actually keep unlimited recovery points in your Azure backup vault, right? And keep them for like up to 10 years. And that way you can reduce your operational expenditure doing your export DB, right? So if I go to the go back to the SQL, I can just if I want to restore a specific database, let me show you that. One sec. So if I go back in here and choose, let's say, a database that I want to restore, I can browse to the vault that the backup is on. So here you see there's a point in time restore. And we've added the ability to choose restore from a long-term retention point. You pick the recovery point that you want to back restore from, and you pick the target server where you want to restore the data back to. So I select that, and then I choose the target server. And then I can also choose whether I want to place these backups in an elastic pool for better performance and usability. So there you go. So I pick another server in the Northern Europe data center, and I can just go say OK with that. And this takes a few minutes, so I'm just going to skip that over and go back to the presentation. Now that you've covered the backups in the cloud, like with the virtual machines and SQL, let me just jump into the hybrid backup world. And in the hybrid backup world, there are three basic scenarios I'm going to touch upon. First is talk about the improvements. There are a lot of improvements we've made, but I'm just going to pick a few things to talk about today. One of them is protection from malware. So with malware, the typical sort of life cycle of how it happens, what is the customer expected to do? The first thing is to make sure that you have the right defense in place. The first line of defense is to have the right malware detection solution, right? But what we've seen is these solutions are never able to catch up with what's happening in the black hat community. These viruses are getting more dangerous, more quick. They are not able to keep up with these viruses, right? So if you think about it, the next thing is, let's say you get compromised, you need to have a reliable way to detect that you have a compromise that happened. That's the second part. And then if all goes loose and you have to go back and you have to recover data from backups, there's always the ability to recover data no matter what happened. That's the promise that customers are expecting. So detection, alert, these are good, but they're not sufficient, and you need a backup solution to be able to recover from such a situation. Let me show you something that we've done in terms of protection from ransomware. So first thing, if I just jump into a demo here, here, I have a vault created, and I have two servers registered to the backup service. I have two file servers registered, file server 1 and file server 2. And let's say the file server 1 is compromised. I can always restore my data from file server 2 as long as it's registered to the same vault. Let me jump into file server 2 right here. And if I say I want to recover data, I can choose if I'm restoring from another server or the same server. I need to specify the vault credentials. The vault credentials acts as a way, as an access token to the vault. So before the demo, I actually downloaded the vault and kept it ready on my laptop or the machine. And I can just go browse to the folder where my vault credentials files are, pick the vault credential, say OK. And there you go. So it found out that this vault credentials is associated with the vault I have. And it also tells me what servers have been backing up to the same vault. And from there, I can go next. And I can say I want to browse for files that are infected. I want to restore them. It detects that the volume has been, that's backed up as the C volume, C drive from the file server 1. And let's say I've been attacked 4 days ago. I want to go back to a time which is like, say, 22nd. I can go back in time. I can specify what files I want to restore. Let's say I want to restore the users folder. I need to specify where the backup needs to be copied to. Let's say I want to restore it to my PC, to the documents folder. And then just before I recover, I also need to specify the passphrase which I need for recovering the data. Because that passphrase is something that you set when you do the backups. The first time you enable backup on File Server 1, you need to specify that you want to encrypt the backups and store them in the cloud, right? You need to have access to those encryption keys before you can restore the data. So I have these data that I have the encryption key copied over to my desktop here. I can just choose OK and do a recover. And so while this is recovering, you may think that, hey, this is just very common. You know, I can always do a backup and restore to an alternate machine. What more kind of protection that I have? So if I think about it, the first thing we've also done is not just allowed you to do recovery from an alternate machine, but also made sure that we're able to detect if the backups are deleted. For instance, if I go ahead and look at the compromised machine, this is the File Server 1, and if I say I want to delete my backups from the compromised machine, so here I'm going to choose stop backup and delete all my backups from there. Still slow. Come on. All right. So I'm going to say I'm going to stop all backups. This is a compromised machine, remember? I'm stopping all backups and want to delete all the backups that are stored in the cloud. If I go ahead and say OK, next thing it does is actually challenges me with a PIN. This PIN is associated with the vault, and you need to get a one-time password from the vault and enter that information as a PIN, and that way, only if you got the right PIN, you can actually go ahead with the deletion. So if I'm a malicious person, I'm trying to do something funky, it tells me, no, you cannot go past this operation. So for every critical operation that is there, we ask you to go back to the portal, and I'll show you in just a minute that you can pick the PIN from the portal and enter the right PIN on the client. Only then you can actually perform any critical operation. So if you go back to the promise of how do I detect, how do I alert, and how do I and how do I make sure that you are able to recover? So those are the three promises here. So if I go to the settings, you will notice that there are new security settings being enabled. For instance, if I go and update those security settings, it tells me that there are a set of promises that we're offering. First, we want to make sure that your data is always available. So if you deleted your backups, we'll retain them for 14 days, right? That's part one. Second thing is you'll have a minimum set of retention points always available in the system. Third, if you do any critical operation, we'll send an alert to the administrator, and you can also add additional administrators who want to be alerted or notified if a critical operation on backup is happening, like deleting a backup. And last but not least, when you are actually performing the critical operation, we'll also ask you to enter the one-time password. That way, your operations are really secure. So those are the three or four promises that we've added as part of the ransomware protection. Let me switch back. Then let me jump into the offsite and long-term protection. This is a very traditional backup scenario, the one that Srish talked about earlier, where you can backup from on-premises to cloud and look at cloud as a storage target. This is a very typical scenario. And the key thing here is there are sort of two or three important value props for the customer. First is if you're looking at using tapes for your long-term retention, you can retire those tapes and start leveraging cloud as a storage target for your backups. Right? The key thing here is even though the tapes themselves are not very expensive, but the infrastructure that you need to maintain for those tapes are very expensive that we've seen. Second, if you have a lot of branch offices in your environment and you want to keep those backups to a long term, you either have to have a tape infrastructure in each of your branch offices, or you have to send the data from your branch offices to head office, and then from head office, you need to back them up to tape. But with the cloud backup, you can eliminate that and basically send all your backups directly from your branch office to head office. And that's exactly what one of our customers did, is they sent those backups directly to cloud, and they saved on two fronts. One, they actually saved the network bandwidth from your branch office to the head office. You don't need to be using that bandwidth for backups. That's number one. Second thing, since all these backups are directly going to cloud, they could actually reduce their tape investments, and over a period of time, just phase out all their tape investments. So there are ton of features available for the hybrid backup. I'm just going to focus on just one scenario where it is interesting because we made a lot of improvements in that front, which is being able to send your backups off, do an offline seeding of your backups from on-premises to cloud. And the reason that is important is because if you think about large disks, you want to have an efficient way to transfer your data to cloud. If you're using your network for that, it's going to be pretty expensive. It may take a lot of time. So the most cost-effective way is to actually package up these disks into an encrypted disk and actually ship them through courier to Azure Data Center using the Azure import functionality, and then we can actually suck up the data directly in the cloud. So this one is actually a very hard one to demonstrate because it takes a lot of moving parts. So what I have is a very quick click-through demo, which just shows you how you can enable offline seeding. The first thing is, when you prepare your machine for backup, there are a few set of inputs that you need to provide. One is subscription in which you want the data to be backed up. Second is which storage account you want the data to be sent to. And then last, you need to specify what we call as an Azure import job. The Azure import job is the one that associates you, the customer, with the specific job. That way, when the job is created, the Azure Data Center team will actually track down the disk when it moves from on-premises to cloud and notify you when the disk has actually reached the cloud. So this is a simple tool. It looks a little cryptic, but it's actually an Azure Disk Prep.exe. I have this content offline. You guys can go take a look at what's in there. Essentially, that it helps you to prepare your disk. What it does is actually copies your local data to an encrypted disk, and then you specify that you want to take that encrypted disk to the cloud. So it automatically creates what we call as an Azure import job. Once the job is created, it asks you to specify a set of inputs. For instance, what's the name of the customer? What's the tracking details? What's your phone number? And what's the FedEx information? And once you've specified all of that, it automatically starts tracking this job. And once you send it through the FedEx courier, once the data reaches the cloud, it'll mark that job as complete. And once it's complete, we automatically pick that up from the Azure Backup Service. So the Azure Backup Service notices that the disks have been imported to the cloud and starts kicking off the backup, the Delta backups from there on. So from hybrid cloud backup, there are sort of two main deployment models. One is if you're doing a file folder backup from your on-premises, you can just deploy something called an Azure Backup Agent and then start backing up the data directly to cloud. And let's say you're doing you want to do a disk-to-disk backup or a disk-to-disk-to-cloud backup, you can always deploy something called an Azure Backup Server or DPM, which Neela, my colleague, is going to talk about, to back up your on-premises infrastructure to cloud. And with this, I'm going to hand off to Neela, who's going to talk about some of the exciting stuff that's coming up with Hyper-V 2016 and DPM 2016 and VMware.
Thank you, Vijay. So is mic working?
Yeah.
Okay. So as Vijay mentioned, right, we have completed the story of on-prem as well as the cloud backup solution. one of the important scenarios in this is the DPM 2016 or Azure Backup Server, which is getting announced in the keynote this week, right? So I will quickly talk about what is bringing in for Azure Backup, our server, our DPM 2016. Windows 2016 has brought in a lot of storage enhancements like Storage Spaces Direct or REFS cloning, dedupe. There's a bunch of things that are brought in which will actually reduce the overall storage cost and improve the performance. DPM is now leveraging those technologies, especially the REFS cloning technology and then VHDX and deduplication to reduce the overall consumption, overall the and improve the performance in that. By leveraging these things, we actually improved the backup speeds by 3 times and reduced the storage consumption by 50%, and we doubled the scale that we can backup with. And also, we introduced a new capability called Workload Affinity, where you can configure a SQL DB, which needs to be backed up every 15 minutes. You can put it into a very high-performance storage like SAN. You can configure a Hyper-V VM backup, which you are backing up once a day. You can put it in a short-term, very low-performance storage. This way, you are actually organizing your storage based on the backup needs, and so you're reducing the overall cost further. That way, this DPM 2016 will bring in a lot of savings into your backup environment, right? Now, moving on to what am I doing on the production server side. Windows 2016 has brought in slew of changes. I'll talk about briefly few of them. For example, Hyper-V RCT backup. Hyper-V has introduced natively to track the changes of a VM that is happening so that our backups will be efficient and resilient. Resilient in the sense that if the Hyper-V storage, VM storage is migrated from one storage node to another storage node, we had to do what is called consistency check, which is a painful process for the customers, and we got rid of it now that Hyper-V natively has that. By leveraging this RCT, we are able to get that capability in place. As I said, the Spaces Direct is another technology that is introduced in Windows 2016, and DPM can detect the VM stored on this S2D, and we'll be able to back them efficiently, and no extra manual steps required than what you are doing so far. Another thing that Windows 2016 brought in is that you have a rolling cluster upgrade, meaning that you can upgrade your clusters with a zero downtime. You can have, let's say you have 16-node cluster, you can have take each node out of it, upgrade it to 2016, and put it back into that cluster. By doing that, your production environment is running fine, and DPM is continuing the tradition, and it will continue to back up those VMs without any downtime in terms of the backup SLA. Your fabric admin do whatever he wants to do, but your backups are still in place, nothing to worry about. Last but not the least, when you're upgrading to Windows DPM 2016, we will continue to backup with the agent that is installed without rebooting that SQL server or a Hyper-V server where you are deployed the agent. They can reboot the machine whenever they want it. So to summarize everything, we are reducing the TCO, we are doubling the tripling the speeds, we're doubling the scale, reducing the overall storage consumption by 50%, and we are enabling a slew of features from the Hyper-V, all the efficiencies brought in Windows 2016. You can leverage them, and you can back them up using DPM. Last but not the least, VMware VM Backup. We are ready with it. We just announced 3 weeks back on Windows 2012, DPM 2012 R2. We are going to get it into DPM 2016 as well. So, what is modern DPM storage, right? You know, all the new technologies that I'm leveraging, what am I doing here? So what we do is that we take the, let's say, for example, I have a SQL DB that has 10 blocks. And that blocks, what we do is that when we back up, we'll put it into a VHD container. And we store it in the REFS storage. When we put it in a VHDX container, REFS maintains what is called a chunk store, where all the data will be copied into a common location, not as part of the file like NTFS does. Now, when I back it up, I created a VHD, and all those content is dumped into that, and they're pointed to the common chunk store. When I need to back up, what I do is a REFS cloning. This REFS cloning is a new technology that was introduced in Windows 2016. Now, again, this is not consuming any space. Right now, it's just a pointer to the common area. Now, let's say that one first block and second block is changed. We are copying that one, two blocks into the other side, and this clone is actually pointing to that. by doing what I'm doing here is that when the new backup data is coming in, I'm just copying it directly instead of the copy and write technology that was there in the past. This means that my I/O consumption has gone down by 70%, and so I'm getting you 3%, three times faster backups. So I'll show you what is the storage consumption we are doing, how much storage consumption savings you are going to get with the DPM 2016, and also what are the other benefits we can do. For the demo, I have two VMs that are protected. Let me get into the VMs here. Okay, so I have two VMs. Each of them are exactly a replica, a clone of each of them. I backed up one of them using the legacy technologies, using the WallSnap technologies. If I can expand here, I can show you. You see this, where we are consuming about 85 GB or 90 GB of space in the using the legacy mechanism. Now, if you go back and look at the way how we stored the new modern DPM storage technology, where we are leveraging the VHDX, REFS cloning, and all of them, we are consuming 60 GB of data. This is the space. Now, this is, you can see it's a small amount, but if you start doing backups of hundreds and terabytes, this is going to reduce a lot of storage consumption that you need to do. Now, the next one that I talked about is that, okay, you have a SQL DB. You want to back it up to a very high-performance storage because you want to back up every 15 minutes. So here is the event. I have a management app where I talk about the DPM storage, where we actually look at it, right? In this case, I have three volumes that are here. One volume is volumes and folders. Another one is for Hyper-V VM, and another one is SQL databases. That's how I configured this DPM here. Now, let's see how DPM will do if I back up SQL DBs. For that, I'm going back to the protection menu here. I'm clicking on the protection here, and I'm creating a new protection group. If it can come up. Yes, it come up here. So I'm backing up a SQL server, so it's going to be server I'm going to check here. I'm selecting the Atlanta DPM. And then in that, I have a SQL server running in there. So I'm going to back up that entire SQL instance. It has a bunch of DBs. When we protect instances, you are actually protecting all the new DBs that are here today, but all the new DBs that come later as well. So when you are backing up these SQL server DBs, I can back it up to the disk. I can back it up to the cloud, like Vijay mentioned earlier. We have the cloud backup solution, right? Now, here I'm talking about how frequently do I want to do log backup every 15 minutes and retaining it for 5 days and everyday incremental backup, where I am actually storing the data faster. Now, because I have to backup every 15 minutes, I need to make sure that it is stored on the SQL, right? So high-performance storage. So this is how DPM is doing it. DPM realized that these are the SQL DBs that are there, and we are storing it in a high-performance SQL storage because I configured that this volume should be used for SQL. Now, let's say for some reason I want to put it into some other volume. I can configure it here, and that's it. I can take care of that, right? So I'm transferring things here and done here. That's all. So the benefit here is that you can control where you want to store the backup data and where you want to go with that. Back to my presentation here. I'll go back here. So what did we do? We looked at the DPM 2016. How is it storing the data? We have a 3x performance, reduce the storage consumption by 50%, and double the scale we are achieving with that. Now let me quickly go into, this is what we talked about. Now let's quickly go into VMware VM backup just introduced about 3 weeks back, right? Here, I'm looking at the VMware DPM server. I'm going back to my demo machine here. So it is connecting, let's keep a couple of seconds. So one of the things that we do in the VMware VM backup is that we can detect and connect with the vCenter instead of just the ESXi server. If you have hundreds of ESXi servers, you just connect that vCenter. That's it. The DPM is now connected to a data center, not just a one ESX host. So if I look at it here, in the management tab here on the bottom, I'm adding a new vCenter by clicking on selecting as a VMware server, and I'm clicking next here. And here I'm going to specify the vCenter. I can specify ESXi, but I don't need to do that here. vCenter is enough for me. So I'm specifying the vCenter here. And I have the credential here. And I'm adding it here. What did I just do here? I added an entire data center with just adding one vCenter. This means that you are not adding 150 ESXi servers that are behind it, right? So I'm just adding, completing that. I'm done with this. So now the important thing is that I can protect that VMs in from that vCenter. I can see them. Most of the customers that we have seen, they are actually organizing the VMs in a folders. They organize it with saying that, you know, application data and everything, right? So I'm going to do that new application backup here, VM backup here. I'm selecting the server here. This is the VMware server I have. I have multiple data centers. Remember, I backed up, I added a vCenter, not just the ESXi server. Now I can see the entire data center here. I can choose to do backup entire data center if I want to, or I can choose individual VM folders. Like, for example, I want to backup only the CRM app, and I'm adding it here, and I'm clicking here. When I'm adding that CRM app, any new VMs that will pop up tomorrow, we'll automatically detect them and back them up. So you don't need to come back and say, add new VMs, do that, right? So that's why I selected that folder, and I'm doing that. So I'm backing up to the disk, and I'm backing up to the cloud there, right? So I'm done with the storing the data here. So here, I backed up to the disk, and I backed up to the cloud, and everything is done just with a couple of clicks in there. Now I'm going to do the recovery where we do that recovery where the Windows files are, let's say if you are backing up a Windows VM, you don't need to back up the recover entire VM. You can recover the files and folders involved in there, and by just clicking that VM, this is the VM that I'm backed up, and I can double click and explore and do that. So by doing these kinds of benefits where I'm adding a data center, I'm adding a folder, I can actually make the backup efficient. One of the customers that we have here is Russell Reynolds has actually benefited a lot from this. I would like to invite Dave, he's a director at Russell Reynolds, to come and talk about how it benefited him from the backup environment. Hey, Russell, thanks for coming by. Thanks for coming by. Sorry about that. Can you talk about Russell Reynolds and what's your role in there?
Yeah, so Russell Reynolds, we are a global leader in executive search, board services, and general business consulting services to companies of all sizes.
Right, okay. And you are a director there, and you are responsible for?
Yeah, so I'm the director of global distributed infrastructure, responsible for our data centers, our server infrastructure, end user computing, help desk, those sorts of things.
And why did you choose DPM? What helped you in that? Why did you
We have four global data centers, 50-plus offices worldwide. And backup is a challenge for most of us. And backup has been very consuming for us. It does get costly. We've invested over the years significantly in backup solutions that really protected us. But what we found over time is they became something else we had to manage, something else we had to pay annual expenses for. So we looked at DPM as an option for us to reduce the complexity in our environment, to get rid of tapes. We're now able with DPM, we're now able to send those backups. We back up on site. We're now able to send those backups right up into Azure as part of that job. And so we're using the Azure backup. And we're able to, like I said, get rid of the tapes. We're able to reduce complexity. And it really just speeds efficiency along the organization.
Cool. So DPM helped you in solving, reducing the overall infrastructure on-prem and sending it to Azure as well. Now, any other services that you're using, what is that helping you? Is this everything working for
you? Yeah, so not only are we using DPM, we're using Azure Backup in the cloud for our Azure presence. We have a pretty significant Azure presence. We find the Azure as a service, Azure Backup as a service just really helps us. We don't have to maintain all that infrastructure just to back up our Azure infrastructure. We're also using OMS. We do a lot with Azure in terms of machine learning, infrastructure as a service. So we're consuming a really good set of services from Azure today.
Cool. I think that's great. That's the customers we want to see benefited by our backup as a service like Shrish mentioned about. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks, David. Thanks, Neela.
Back to you, Vijay.
So we talked a lot about, you know, what you can back up. We talked about the cloud backup and then the hybrid scenarios. We didn't touch a lot about the cloud as a management plane. We talked about how to configure ISVMs, but we are in a journey, right? This cloud management is a journey. And as a first part of that cloud journey, what we're doing is enabling monitoring. This is the first step. First step is, how do I make sure that I can monitor all my backup jobs from the cloud, whether it's running on-premise, it's an on-premises job, doing a disk-to-disk backup or disk-to-cloud backup or backing up in the cloud, and how do I make sure that I find out where are the bottlenecks in my backup information, right? Are there certain reasons why backups are failing? How do I get a SLA report? How do I make sure that my entire infrastructure is healthy, right? So these are some of the things that we're starting to invest. As a first part of that, let me just jump into a demo here, which shows me that I have a vault, and inside the vault, I have both my Azure VMs that are backed up, but also I have my data from my on-premises to the cloud. So here, I have a set of virtual machines and also file folder backup. And if I go to the jobs view, I can see that there are failed jobs. And in the failed jobs, it tells me that there are a set of backups that have been failing. Let me just click on it one sec. Okay, there you go. So this backup has been failing for 3 days. And if I look at what's the reason why backups are failing, it tells me that I have a certain folder that has been deleted from my on-premises machine. And that's the reason why I'm not able to backup that folder to my cloud, right? So once I know that information from a central portal, I can always go back to my on-premises and take my action as a remediation. So if I want to configure alerts, I don't want to be on the dashboard, and I don't want to be looking at the dashboard all the time. I can go to the backup services, go to the alerts tab, and configure my alerts. So right here, I can say configure notification. And when I say notification, I can choose email and specify the set of recipients who want to be received, who want to get notified about the backup failures. I can choose whether I want per alert notification or get an hourly digest. And I also can specify the type of severity that I'm interested in. Let's say I want to know about critical failures. I can specify who needs to get the backup alert. And I can say save. And that's about it. So once you've configured that, if you have failures in your on-premises infrastructure with your backups, or if you have failures with your cloud backups, all of this information starts bubbling up as alerts in your dashboard, and you can also be notified about those backup failures. Great, now I got monitoring, I've got alerting. I have a lot more metadata as part of the, being a cloud service. I've got my backup items, I got my production servers, what are my policies and everything, right? So can I pull all of this information, maybe feed that into something like log analytics? Can I feed that into Power BI and get some, rich reports? I can do that. So this is something that we're working on. This is a sort of a beta version of it. So I can go to the Azure Backup dashboard, go to Power BI, and Power BI, what I've done is taken my data from my on-premises and all my cloud data into the Azure Backup. Okay. I got all the data to my Azure Backup service. From there, I'm actually pushing that data through a content pack to the Power BI. And here, I can see that my backups have been, some of my backups have been failing. If I want to drill down to see how many backups have failed, I can see that there are 174 backups have been failing on my infrastructure, and the exact reason why they are failing. And if I look at the last Friday's data, I can see that these were the top two reasons why my backups have been failing. And if I jump into the job reports, I can also see that, hey, these backups have been taking a longer duration. If I want to find out why these are taking long duration, maybe I can jump into the backup items report to see how my backups are configured. Are they configured at the same time of the day? Sure enough, I can see that there are a lot of backups configured between 12 and 3 p.m. And that's probably one of the reasons why my backups are taking a longer duration, right? So those are sort of information that I can actually pull to the Azure Backup service, and then push that into a Power BI solution. Okay, that's not it. Why am I so excited about all of this? It just goes back to the whole promise about, you know, using cloud as a management plane. First thing, you don't have to deploy any SQL Server or reporting services on premises to get that kind of reports, right? The second value prop is, you, since you've got all the data in one place, whether it's on premises or in the Azure, you get everything centralized, right? And last but not least, you don't have to deploy that infrastructure. You just consume services in Azure, whether it is through log analytics, through Power BI, you can get all of that rich information right there in the Azure portal. So with that, let me just go back to the... All right, so I'm just wrapping up. So last but, you know, last thing I want to just emphasize to you folks, just as Suresh and I were talking about the whole messaging about Azure Backup, I want you guys to go back, think about whether the traditional backup solutions are actually going to address as you migrate your workloads to cloud. Is that going to continue to be efficient? Is it going to continue to work as you migrate your workloads to cloud, right? That's very important. And if you're still running on your workloads on-premises, do you have the power of leveraging cloud to do your monitoring, your reporting, and Power BI and log analytics? So that's the kind of questions that you need to start asking yourself, and then think about, are you ready to get transformed? Okay, thank you. So with that, I'm just going to wrap up. There are a ton of sessions throughout the entire week. Go back and check them out. And also, do not forget to sign up for your evals. Thank you.